Glory to God. We want to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. I'd like you to turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to God. What has bothered me over the years is sometimes we can get so excited on a Sunday night that we're eating wood off the ceiling, but then on Monday morning, we're in the mully grubs, you know? Something has got to take hold of us. Sister Dixon came up to me before service and said, I have a complaint about this morning's preaching. And, you know, and I get those from time to time. She said, I've been hearing that story about the pole falling down and the love letter since I was a little girl. Now, I don't know if it's really that old. But she said, one of these times you're going to have to read one of those letters that you wrote. I think they're all destroyed. Where's my wife? She's gone. Glory to God. Amen. Matthew 14, verse number 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, you don't understand. We don't have anything. Has he ever asked you to do something that seemed unreasonable, you know? Like find, pitchers and trumpets to fight an army of 150,000 soldiers. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And most don't understand, but those 2 fishes were huge tunas. Yeah. And Subway had one of those sales on the 6-foot-long loaves, you know. Some would try to rationalize how this could happen. But it was in the little boy's lunch. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples, the multitude, and they did eat and were filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, somebody could get filled here. Amen. Tonight. Amen. It all depends on how hungry you are. Amen. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So it could have been 10, maybe even 15,000 that were there. 2 fishes and 5 loaves. You know, what it doesn't record is, it doesn't record some saying, you know what, we're not gonna be able to have anything. Let's just go. They stayed, they sat down. Then Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse number 6, the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. I've never seen God deny somebody who came to the altar and said, God, I want something. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. They shall be filled. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. We're grateful. We're grateful for your presence in this place. Anoint it, allow it to minister as only you can. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was hungry right after service this morning, and I don't know what is wrong with me, but this happens a lot. It's motivated me to get in my car and drive to Culver's, and that happens a lot as well. And I won't tell you all that I ate, but as soon as I got done, finished with all that I ate, I decided to go on a diet. It's so easy to go on a diet after you have been completely filled with something that you like. It's so easy to go on a diet when you are full and satisfied. And am I the only human in this place? Glory to God. Hunger motivates us, and thank God. If I didn't get hungry, I'd have to go see a doctor because I'd probably be sick. This is going to preach, folks. Because if you're not hungry for this word, if you're not hungry for God's touch, there's something wrong with you. I'm not a doctor, but I can see the symptoms. If somebody isn't excited, they're not thirsty, they're not hungry for the things of God, probably there's something ailing you. Glory to God. No hunger for the things of God, the most delectable, sumptuous, delicious sermon ever preached is not appetizing to this world. It is to us because we've developed taste buds for the things of God. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good, but you first have to taste and see to determine the Lord is good. The Bible shows us that only hunger has the ability to determine how much God will give you. If you're not hungry, God's not going to force feed anybody. There's nobody in here on intravenous. Glory to God. Friday, I was at a wedding, and the caterers, both of them, came up to me and said, "Brother Schumacher, how are you? It's been such a long time since I saw you." Well, it has been years since I've seen him. Back 30, 35 years ago, I taught him and his wife a Bible study, and they came into the church. They were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they told me about how they are just so successful. They have so many catering jobs, and they have now, they're having a truck made so they can sell food out of the truck. They have a very successful restaurant in Milwaukee, and told me all of the menu and the food that's going to be on the menu. But how's God? You can be hungry. You can be the best cook in the world. You can present the best to the world. But I'll tell you, it won't satisfy it like God will satisfy. It's not great preaching, great promotions, great singing that will bring revival to any church. It is the amount of emptiness that God finds in an individual. To the point where I am so hungry, if I don't get to church, I'm going to pass out. Hallelujah. It is when people realize their emptiness that moves them towards God, and that same feeling of hunger keeps us motivated in order to serve God. I just know that after service tonight, I'm going to be hungry again. Even though this lunch, I had wonderful food and I seemed to be completely satisfied, I got hungry again. The same is true about the things of God. You can have the best meal like you had this morning. You can be filled. But is that enough? By the time the sun goes down, I feel like I need to have a little bit more. Hallelujah. 30 years ago, I was in a revival with evangelist Richard Hurd. Richard Hurd was just the most outstanding evangelist at that time. And when he had revivals, there were 30, 40, 50, 100, 100, 200 people who got the Holy Ghost in every one of his revivals. And really, the key was so simple, but nobody else picked up on it. It wasn't because he was such an incredible preacher. It wasn't because the information that he gave, a lot of it was on the end times. And 30 years ago, you know, we weren't as close to the end times as we are today. We didn't see the signs and all of the terrorist activity like we've seen just this week. But before he would come to the church, the pastor would have to dedicate that the entire church was going to go on a fast for an entire week. There had to be one lock-in for all of the men overnight. Everybody would have to come to church and plan to stay in the church all of that time. And then the women would have to do exactly the same. And by the time Richard Hurd would get to the microphone and just say Jesus, I'll tell you what, revival would break out. People would come. We didn't invite you. How did you get here? It was because there was a preparation and there was a hunger and a thirst and a desire for something more of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 42:1 says, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David said, when can I go to church? I'm so excited. I want more of God. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried to get someone to eat when they weren't hungry? You know, you moms probably have all experienced that. Come on, you know, you need to eat your lima beans. Come on, you got to eat your food. And the same is true about thirst. The old saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can't force anybody to, and I've tried it, folks. I've done everything in order to get people to come to church or even come to a Bible study. But, you know, that's not our job. Our job is to present the food, the information, and God's the one who creates the appetite, who creates the thirst in people. You know, I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about God before I came to church. I would go to bed thinking about God. And what God is doing is he creates an appetite, and he knew that there was going to be a meal just down the road. Would you turn to John, the 7th chapter, please? Familiar scripture. John 7 and 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, here's the prerequisite, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, how, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's saying, you know what? The Holy Ghost is for anybody who really thirsts after the Holy Ghost, who really wants the Holy Ghost. 500 people in an upper room, 380 left because they weren't hungry, they weren't thirsty, they weren't looking for more of God. They thought it would happen easier. They thought it would be less difficult in order to get a hold of God. But a church today that gets to the place where they are so hungry and so thirsty, God is going to provide great revival for that church. That is this church, folks. There are a lot of empty, hungry people out there. They're trying to fill themselves and satisfy themselves with so many things that won't satisfy, and they don't even know that they are empty, always trying to fill the void with stuff and not with God. And they're frustrated, and they don't even know that they're empty. I didn't even know I was empty. Perhaps you didn't either until you got your first really good meal. Amen. So if you turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, I'm going to try to keep it under an hour and a half tonight. 2 Kings 4. Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You know, so many times we feel like we're so ill-equipped to deal with the problems that we have. And my God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What do we have of real value, church, besides the Holy Ghost? Nothing. Hallelujah. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all of these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed or stopped. So as long as she kept getting empty vessels, as long as the oil kept pouring out, I'll tell you what, she had more and more and more. And it represented freedom for her. It represented freedom for her sons. God's instruction to the woman was, collect all of the emptiness that you can find. And God said, you know, collect the emptiness and I'll fill it up. It's not our job to fill them with the Holy Ghost, but it's our job to collect the empty vessels. The volume of your emptiness determines the amount of your filling. And if you're so empty, if you're so drained, if you've had so much pressure on you, if you have debt up to your ears, if you've got diagnosis that you won't be able to handle on your own, you know what? You need to present your emptiness to God, and God will fill you up. You see, God is not interested in our independence. In fact, he hates our independence. We're coming up on Independence Day, and that's a wonderful thing for America, but I'll never have an Independence Day in the church. He won't fill anything that doesn't understand that they are empty. And when we get to the place where we empty ourselves out at the altar, there's a refreshing, there is a renewing that God will give us. This woman was under great pressure. She was about to lose her two sons because of her debt. I can't imagine what was going through her mind. She just lost the prophet husband. She had no means of income at the time. And now she's got two sons, and her creditors are saying, come here, it's the law. I get to take your sons as bondsmen or slaves. So what are your assets? I mean, what have you got? If you ever got to the place where you're in financial difficulty, you got to ask yourself, well, what do I have of value? What could I sell? What could I give in order to turn things around? Church, what are our assets? The greatest value we have is God's Spirit. There are a lot of churches, a lot of Christian churches, but they don't have the assets that we have. We have enough oil to fill every vessel that comes in this place. God will give it to you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We are in the oil business. No oil, no business. That's right. We run out of oil. We run out of a move of God's Spirit. We might as well sell the building and move someplace else because we're out of business completely. I believe that when we start pouring out what we have, then God starts to meet our needs and comes to our rescue. But you know what? We can't be a cistern. We have to be a pool of water that has an outlet that is constantly saying, I've got something for you. You say you have a headache, let me pray for you in Jesus' name. You say you're having problem with your marriage, listen, I know a church, I know a God that can take care of you. As you're pouring out and pouring out, all of a sudden it comes from the back end. Now all of a sudden the raises are there. Now all of a sudden God puts his arms around your children. All of a sudden, God does what we can't possibly do because we're doing what God can't do. Hallelujah. What about all the empty vessels around us? Amen. Birthday party next door today, and the kids were all having games, but they were preparing for it early this morning, And over and over again, I'm trying to make friends with new neighbors and trying to somehow win them to God because I know they need God so desperately. Oh, They have two cars. Oh, they have a nice home. Oh, they're dressed well. They have good jobs and all of that. But they're vagabonds. They're desperate for God and they don't even know it. They're completely empty. This woman's collected emptiness from all of her neighbors. And that is what we do through prayer and fasting, intercessory prayer. That's why Richard Hurd had such a great revival, because there was a preparation of getting empty vessels through intercessory prayer and inviting people in, and the power of God just moved. Our biggest problem is our high sugar diet. It really is. We had a great buffet this morning, but people got filled and they decided they had enough for the day. I'm not talking about you people here. But when you get to the place, and I've seen this happen over and over, we have outstanding service, and then all of a sudden, the next couple of services, we don't have as many people coming because they're completely full and they went on a diet from spiritual things. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen over and over again. Or some are such picky eaters that they only respond to patty cake preaching. You know, come on, that's all. Boy, you're really stepping on my toes. Well, I'm supposed to, you see. Pastor, give me some more sugar. Some people are in sugar shock. All they want is to clap their hands and, you know, I had a good meal 2 weeks ago. What do you want? I can't force feed people. God is not obligated to feed casual nibblers at his table. He just doesn't. Oh, you want to nibble? This is not the place. This isn't a place that we just serve up milk. There is some meat here in order for us to mature, you see. Come on. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come to the table. God will always take care of you. Have you ever felt like, I wish that guy would just shut up so I could get to the altar? Is nobody like me? There have been times where, you know what? You've made your point. Now just shut up and open the altar, because I'm starving tonight. I want to get a hold of God. It's not just all about the preaching. It's about what I can get after the preaching. And this is the way to the altar, this way. That way is not to the altar. I just want to be a traffic control person here. Hallelujah. Real hungry people are real desperate people. Amen. And I've gotten to that place where I haven't eaten for a long time, and I'm thinking, if I don't get something to eat soon, I'm going to start shaking, you know, or fall over. You see, I can provide the meal, but God has to provide the hunger. Amen. And if God doesn't provide the hunger, then the best meal will just sit on the pulpit. If sermons were all that it takes in order to save this city, we would have been filled years ago. You know? We've got podcasts, we have CDs, we have DVDs, we have Bible studies, we have church more than most. But you know what? It's not just about sermons. It's not just about giving you another book report. It's not about more information. We all have enough information. We need to use the information that we have in order to get to God and get a good meal. We can't live on somebody else's leftovers. You know, you go to a nice restaurant, I can't eat it all. We put it in a aluminum foil and we bring it home. And do you want some or do you want some? And generally it sits in the refrigerator until, you know, we have to throw it out. We can't come to church service and listen to missionaries talk about the great things that are happening in Africa. We can't come to churches and hear about preachers who have had extraordinary situations in their life and then live off of their leftovers. We have to have our own meals. If we would do what this desperate widow had done. Of course, she went to the pastor. She said, Pastor, I'm in trouble. You know, half of the trouble could be avoided if you went to the right people. And then he said, start collecting all of the emptiness around you. God will take us to places that nothing else can take us if we simply would reach out to somebody else. God cannot say no to a hungry heart. Never seen it happen. When I see somebody that's hungry for God, you know, it's so easy to spot them. They're already crying in the pew. They're already shaking. They're already trembling to a certain degree. And all they're looking for is an invitation, and God will pour out his spirit upon him. We don't have to give people a tabernacle plan in 10 minutes. You don't have to give them an in-depth study to hungry people. We can't tell them how we prepared the meal and what temperature it was baked at. We don't have to tell them that, you know, we coated this thing with, and then we, you know, they don't care. Just get me to the food. That's all that's really important. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to give them. If you can see that they are hungry, just bring them to the table and God will do the rest. He will satisfy like we could never satisfy. We're always looking for the right service. We're always looking for the right evangelist that comes. We're always looking for, you know, isn't there a special program because I want to invite my relatives. And you know what? God knows enough in order to prepare the right meal for the right people. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, this is the first time I've been in the church. Who told you about me? You know, because God had prepared the meal for them. Glory to God. There was an empty space between the two cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant. The two cherubims faced one another, and right between them, there was an empty space, and God filled the empty space. I believe God is looking for a place for the next outbreak of his presence. The widow's problem wasn't how much oil she had, but how much emptiness she could collect. And if we can collect enough emptiness in this place, I'm telling you, the power of God will pour out in this place. Listen, satisfaction is our greatest enemy. We get complacent. We have good church. We have good song services. We have good specials. Every once in a while, the preacher will preach a good message. And all of that is good, and it supposed to satisfy, but not to the point where, well, you know what, it's good enough. Whenever we stop a while to build a monument to our best time on the last lap, we forget to get back into the race. When we say, whoa, man, that was a service, wasn't it? Yeah, okay, well, let's get back in the race. Let's start running again. Let's go on to another service that's even better. We're having great church every service lately. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been having visitors every service. And there is a correlation between the great services and the visitors that we have. You see, as long as there are empty vessels brought into the house, the oil kept pouring and pouring. 2 Kings 4 and 6 says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, or the oil stopped. I talked to a pastor Friday. He said, you know, the youngest person in our church was 55 years old when I came. And there was no new life. The pastor has to have the vision for the new life. The only value we have in the house of the Lord is our oil, the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have a continuing pouring out of God's Spirit, well, then our sons and our daughters will be taken into bondage. If we can't get our young people back into the house of the Lord because there isn't a moving of God's Spirit, I'm telling you, we got to be excited about the things that we're doing, or one day they're going to go back into bondage. Hallelujah. Last Sunday night, we heard about the five foolish virgins that ran out of oil. Church, we have to keep a flow of God's Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm waiting for the lightning to hit. Did it for Brother Ball. I don't know why it wouldn't happen for me. We just need more empty vessels, folks. God's desire for us is to be grateful and desperate at the same time. Thank you, Jesus. But I want more. Hallelujah. I want more. I want to see more. We want to have a better service. Oh, this is good, but let's raise the level one more notch so we can have greater services. Our critics say that our faith is a crutch for the weak. Ever hear that? They have no idea how right they are. We are absolutely dependent upon God. I can't do anything without Him. It's not about the oratory. It's not about what we can present. We are totally dependent on the pouring out of His Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. John 15:5, Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The only thing we got going in this place is God's Spirit. It separates us from all other denominations. It separates us from all other churches. And we need to have a continual pouring out of God's Spirit that releases not only us, but releases our sons and our daughters. And there is a future for the next generation. This church cannot die on the vine. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's it. It's over. No lightning, nothing. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?